when we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's word, if you turn there to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll look at verses 24 through 27, Lord willing, on a message I've titled, The Pleasures of Sin, Hebrews chapter 11. When you get there, if you're able to stand, I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 24. And here the Bible says, By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. I ask you now, God, to take this scripture, God, take this man that's standing to deliver it, Lord, and deliver it for me and through me. And God, that you'll do a mighty work in our hearts today by using this text. And Lord, that you'll be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. No doubt everybody in here is familiar with the story of Moses. We've heard about it ever since we were just wee little kids. We grew up hearing about Moses and all the things that he did. My favorite parts of Moses growing up was seeing how he parted the Red Sea there he would stand there and just raised up his hand there with his staff and the Red Sea's parted and they crossed over on dry land. I love that part. I love the part where he stands around the burning bush and the Lord comes to him, reveals to him, tells him to take his shoes off. And I wondered why he was having to wear shoes anyway. But I like those stories growing up as a child. But we're all familiar with Moses. He was born in a time of persecution. And we know there after Joseph left, there was a new Pharaoh that came on the scene, didn't know Joseph, didn't know about his family, didn't know all the great things that they had done. And so they began persecuting the Hebrews, the children of Israel. They enslaved them. They put them in bondage. And that's for about 400 and some odd years, that's how they remained in bondage to Egypt. And it was an awful time for God's people. Well, during this time, the Hebrews had started multiplying. There was getting to be more of them than there were the Egyptians. And Pharaoh was very upset about that. He decided he would pass a law to have all male Hebrew children that were born thrown in the river and drowned. He wanted to kill all the newborn male children. Now, I don't know if you have ever made that comparison of Moses being a type of Christ or not, but it's a great study. You ought to do that sometime and compare the life of Moses with the life of Christ and see so many similarities. Even his very birth was under the same pretenses as Christ was during a time of persecution and the killing of young male children. And so a lot of the same things happen in Moses' life as Jesus. And so he's a type of Christ. But we know it was an awful time for them there. They had to help make all those wonderful things that people enjoy today, those pyramids and the great wonders of the world. They were the ones responsible for that. They carried the mud and the brick and the straw that made all these things. Now we call them wonders of the world. That the children of Israel were responsible for that. But to thin out the Hebrew race, Pharaoh declared that all male children being born to the Hebrews would be cast in the river and drowned. Well, God had other plans for Moses. Moses was a Hebrew. His father was a Hebrew. He was from the tribe of the Levites. And he had married a lady there, and she had had a child. She had already had two children. Aaron and Miriam was his older siblings. He was not the oldest. He was the youngest. And so during the time of this law of killing the male children, she hid him for 3 months there in their home. And finally, it came to a point where she was no longer able to hide him. I don't know why, what the details were. Maybe his lungs got stronger and he was crying too loud. Or I don't know what it was, but for some reason they could not hide him any longer. Maybe he was growing and getting bigger and it was just difficult. Maybe he's trying to crawl out of the place. I don't know. But so she takes him and puts him in this little, the Bible calls it an ark. It's a little thing that was handmade that she put him in, and it was coated with pitch and tar to keep it waterproof. And she put him down in that little ark and put him in the bulrushes there on the banks of the river. Now, if you don't know what a bulrush is, you've never been to a pond. These things are, it's usually like the cattails and things that grow up out of the side there. I used to love those things. Put him down there in the weeds and things that were growing up there on the edges of the river to kind of protect him and take care of him out there so that he was away from the rest of the people. Well, as we all know the story, Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river and she discovered young Moses there, you know, in the bulrushes. And she had him pulled out, and immediately when she saw him, she understood this is a baby from one of the Hebrews. And she had compassion on him. The Bible talks about she had compassion upon him and wanted him to not be killed, but rather to be saved. And we all know the story there. As Miriam was standing there on the edge and she saw it all take place, and she runs up, "Do you want me to go find one of the Hebrew women to take care of him for you?" And she, "Oh, yeah." And so Pharaoh's daughter didn't even know that she had actually hired Moses' own mother to nurse him from the beginnings of his life there. And so she paid his own mother to take care of him until a time where she would bring and present him to her as her child. And so that's what happened. And Pharaoh's daughter is actually the one that named Moses. And his name means to be drawn out. She said, "I'll name him Moses because I drew him out of the river." And we also know that that name has a double meaning of Moses there. Not only was he drawn out of the river, but he actually drew God's people out of Egypt's bondage. And God used him for that. And so his name, despite it not being his Hebrew name, he had another name. It was a Hebrew name. The Bible doesn't tell us what it was. He would have been named that early on by his parents. But here, Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses. Now, the Bible doesn't mention it, and we don't know exactly how old Moses was when he was taken to Pharaoh's daughter there in Egypt to be handed over to him. We don't know his exact age at that time. He would have been young, but he would have been at least old enough to have built a solid foundation of the faith of the Hebrews. He lived in his parents' home, and they had taught him these things. Jochebed and Amram was his parents. And they had taught him the ways of the Hebrews, and he had a heart for the same heart that the Hebrews had. And he had the learning, the understanding between right and wrong. He knew what was godly. He had had the fear of God instilled within him and the teachings that the Hebrews would have taught their children. And with this rock-solid foundation, they bring him now to Pharaoh's daughter to be raised up by the Egyptians there in Egypt. Now, can you imagine that? You see, his mother understood that God had another plan for him. She already understood that. And so she brings him there by faith in God to be raised up by Pharaoh's daughter. You know, I just can't imagine today bringing up a child without any thought of their future, what God can do with them in the future. Just like Sister Shirley was saying about how our hearts are proud. I mean, we see our daughter over here playing that beautiful song and realizing that she's giving her talents and things to the Lord and allowing Him to use her for His work. And it does make you proud. It does make you glad that you raise your child in such a way. There's people today, though, that raise their children without having the admonition of God in their lives. They're not taught and brought to Sunday school. And listen, this is, you know, and preachers preach this and teach this, and you think, well, I get tired of hearing this, but it's the truth. Parents need to have their children in Sunday school. That is where you could get a great base foundation of the things of the Bible and learning the things from the Bible. It's very instrumental in a child's life. Now, I'm not talking about these so-called youth groups that they're sending kids to today where they go in there and play games and things like that, and they don't have any biblical instruction. I'm not talking about those groups. I'm talking about a rock-solid Sunday school where the teacher is studied, where they prepared from the Word of God what to say, and they're teaching that child, this is what the Bible says. That's where we get our foundation from. If you're not getting it at home, bring those kids to church so they can get it in church. And that's a failing of many parents today. Would to God that more people would have such care for their children that they would bring them up under the admonition of the Lord. That's what the Bible talks about in Proverbs 22:6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." You know for yourself, there's been children that have been brought up in church and learned the ways of God. It's turned from that and ran and They're prodigals now. But they still had that solid foundation they were brought up on. And one of these days, that's going to come back. There's a lot of them that come back, that prodigal, that comes home. And that's our hopes, that those that were trained up in the right way, they will not depart from it. It'll always be with them. But those early developing years of a child are the most important. That's when you learn these things. Me and Mary was talking last week. We can recite nursery rhymes because that's what we were taught when we were children, all these Mother Goose rhymes. Wouldn't it be nice if we were instead taught? Now, this is nothing against my parents. I mean, this is just what parents do. We get little books and we teach the kids the nursery rhymes. They're easy to learn. They rhyme and they're repetition and you hear them over and over and over. I used to could quote the entire book of Dr. Seuss's Hop on Pop. That was my favorite book. Hop on Pop. In fact, I got one from the library one time and lost it. And they ended up having to pay for it. And years later, when they moved the refrigerator out, there it was under the refrigerator. Hop on Pop. But I can remember getting that book, and I'd get Dad, and I'd be there on his knee, and I'd, you know, read Hop on Pop. And boy, he'd sit there and read that book, and I loved that thing. But I was thinking about that. What if we instead had books that were made geared toward children? Instead of hearing Hop on Pop, we'd hear things about learning about Jesus and had that base foundation built within our minds. Because when you're young, your mind is pliable. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. You've heard that? It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. But these young people, their minds are developing and they're growing and they're pliable. And so when they hear things, they absorb it and it stays with them. That's why we can still sing these little nursery rhymes, even as old people now. You can remember those things. But if we had the Scripture implanted upon our minds at a young age, you know, even at 52, I can remember things when I was growing up as a young boy here in East Tennessee. Those things would always be there. But yet I couldn't tell you really what I ate yesterday or what I was wearing the day before. But I can tell you, I can go back 50-something years ago and tell you a nursery rhyme that I learned. But Moses has received a godly education from his Hebrew mother, and it would be needed as he would face some of the most horrible times in his life as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, and they were out there in the wilderness, and there would be times where they would want to turn back to their idolatry. They would want to go back to what they'd learned in Egypt and all the things that were taught there. And long for those. And so Moses would have to have the knowledge of both the Hebrews and the Egyptians to be able to combat this type of thinking. We're living in a world today where the world is filled full of idolatry. And it's very hard now that children are being raised up under this idolatry to teach them the difference between Christianity and world thinking. We've been discussing it in Sunday school because we're going through the book of Genesis of the difference of what man says and what the Bible says. And so children need to know what the Bible says about things. They don't need to go around believing that this earth was created by some kind of big boom. They don't need to go and believing that there was a little hot ball of fire that suddenly exploded and all this suddenly miraculously came into existence. That there was no creative thinking behind that. There was no intelligence behind it. Listen, that's what they're being taught in schools today. They're not being taught biblical creation. Where God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Where He spoke the world into existence. You see, they're not going to teach that to your children. You must teach them. And your grandchildren. There's people today that are growing up with their grandparents, and the grandparents are instrumental in teaching these young people the truth of God's Word. And so don't rely on your public school system to do all the teaching for you.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
Shout!